Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party. Yeah. Everyone, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnson, and not with me today is producer slash husband slash roommate Norm Sousa. It is 6 a.m. and you best believe he doesn't think my love is worth getting up for. How dare he? Here I am in the middle of the early morning recording and he's ignoring me while asleep. Can I have 5 seconds to be an independent woman? Thank you so much. Apparently, I can have more than that. Nonetheless, the podcast goes on. Lots of exciting updates on my end. One, my sister is coming to town. So that is it. Okay, on with the episode. This is someone I met through the BugCon universe, which is something so ridiculous we don't even need to discuss any more than we already have on this podcast. My God, the amount of time we've given to BugCon. And we got to talking. I did his podcast. I had a blast doing that. So of course, gotta get him on mine. And here we go. Now we have arrived. So everybody, please help me welcome my guest, Rob Schulte, right after this break. It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party. Rob, we did it. We made it to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. How are you?
I am doing, I'm pretty darn good, you know?
Yes. What are you at on the Self-Esteem Party scale? Let's get right into it.
Okay, It's been a fluctuating week, I will tell you that. But right now, I'm at a 4. I'm teetering on a 5. Okay. But I could see on the horizon that getting higher. I can get over the hump, but that's where I'm at right now.
I appreciate your honesty. I don't really give my number anymore at the top. I will give mine today. I am at a 5, with the week having begun at like a 2.
Okay.
And then a couple moments in a few days at like a 7.
Oh, that's great.
So I'll land a little neutral.
That makes sense. You know, if we would have done this.
So if you're 4 teetering 5, I'm at 5. So maybe you're trying to like aspire to be me.
I really am. I mean, in more ways than one. If this would have been yesterday, I probably would have been closer to a 2. But that's just because, you know, I build things up in my own head sometimes, you know. And then as much as I, you know, hey, we're just getting started here. But like,
oh my God, we're barely finished.
Yeah. I think I almost sometimes, if I were to just think a little bit more in the moment, I could probably, I wouldn't force myself to the lower numbers. Mm-hmm. And so, but I'm glad to be almost neutral. And I'm, you know what? I already feel the ticker rising just now that we've hit record on the podcast.
Because of my leopard sweatshirt. Exactly. You're like, wow, exactly. She really dressed up for the occasion. You should have seen what I had on earlier. And I looked in the mirror and I went, I can't wear this.
Well, you know, I,
Elena,
you say I'm aspiring to be yours. I almost wore my leopard shirt. So,
oh my God, wouldn't have that just been a 6 on the charts at least.
It would have. It would have started everything out about 2 knocks higher on that top 10 list.
Now, Rob, when you said you get in your own head about things, do you feel like it's a rabbit hole, like a spiral into then getting you to have a perception of something that maybe isn't not quite right, but more like not quite as accurate? I build stuff up and I'm like, I make assumptions. So then I'm, you know what I mean? I'm not quite right.
That's definitely part of it. I think this particular situation was me trying to plan for every circumstance, which is always a bad idea because you can't do that. You can't control everything. But keeping my side of the street clean, right? Like no matter what happens, I've at least got myself organized here. And then just getting the domino effect of one person's miscommunication caused another miscommunication, which caused another. And it was like, I am the person who kind of had to like figure out where all of the things went wrong. And okay. you just kind of like, well, I kept my side of the street clean. Like, why am I fixing all, everyone else's issues?
Yeah.
But, you know, when you take a step back, you know, and play the tape back and like rethink about it, you're like, well, you know, it's okay to be frustrated. Like, mm-hmm. it's not wrong. But I don't know about you, but sometimes you get in those moments where you have to have, like, say it's at work or say it's with a friend group or whatever, or a project you're working on with people. Like, you still have to have those uncomfortable conversations. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when you think back on it, like in my situation, it's like, well, I don't like having those conversations at all. And like, I don't like making it sound like...
Who likes conflict? Well, of course.
And like making it sound like, well, I did everything right. And it's like, well, mm-hmm. I understand it's give and take all over the place. But like, I really, you know, I don't want to be that person who's like pointing the finger, because that's not what anything's about. But you also don't want to like throw yourself under the bus.
You know, I think you just phrased it in a really interesting way, saying, I don't want to be that person, mm-hmm. because you're like, in terms of self-esteem, for me, when I have those moments of like, I didn't think it would pan out this way, like that I'd be reacting in this way, it affects your self-esteem because you're like disappointed in yourself. Mm-hmm. You're like, I thought I was going to be blank or in this situation or handle it this way. And you're like, I didn't think I'd be the guy that everybody shit on.
Yeah.
You're like, what's that say about me? But it's like, that's just your perception of it, which is totally fine if you have to go through that. But it's hard because everybody in that moment was looking at you as the only person that can fix the situation, meaning they have confidence in you.
Fair. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're like, they only see you as a solution. Being like, it makes you of necessity to them.
That's a really good point. And isn't that weird that like, why is it so hard to like see that when it's so easy for everyone else to be like, well, yeah, you talk to the first AD if there's an issue with something, or you talk to your boss if there's an issue, but this person comes back and be like, yeah, I'm really glad you were able to sort that out. But you're sitting there going, or I'm sitting there going like, fuck, why did it even happen to begin with? But like you said, you know, like, no, everyone else sees it in a totally different light.
You know, I've been having this lately. Okay, this kind of relates.
Hey, bring it on.
I've been having this lately where I'm the person that people vent to, which is something I normally welcome because I'm like, yeah, we all need to vent. And I'm kind of a neutral person to vent to because it's like, I care about you. I want you to feel good, but I'm also not going to like shove stuff in your face. If you want advice, great. If you need me to listen, I'll listen. So you know what I mean? Yeah. You just need to tell me what you want for starters. That's like a big one. Makes my job easier. But I'm like, I'm realizing I'm not saying as much in these conversations because I'm feeling bad. Like I have nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, they're not looking at it like that. They're being like, here's this person being a really good friend. And I'm looking at it like, oh, I'm a loser.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's like, that's how it kind of relates. I don't know.
It totally does.
But
like, these are the sort of things, like what happens that we're so critical that we're not doing the right thing when that is the furthest thing from other people in that bubble. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it kind of makes me think like, you know, I stopped drinking recently and, you know, back when, you know, I mean, decade ago or whatever, even longer, but like, you know, we've all probably been in a spot where we've had a little too much, maybe said something embarrassing or whatever.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, you've also then got the like sads the next day because you've been imbibing depressants, you know? And, you know, I remember talking to a friend of mine being like, oh, I feel so stupid. And he was like, well, first of all, I don't know. It wasn't stupid. That was what we were all talking about. Or second of all, like, think about when you have seen someone do something embarrassing at the bar or at a live show or whatever. And like, do you actually care? Do you go, oh, yeah, that was probably yes. embarrassing, but do you actually be like, wow, get a load of this guy, you know?
Oh, my God, I never think that,
yeah.
like, of my friends, or if my friends, yeah. if I gave them advice and then they did something else,
yeah.
and then it didn't work out and they felt a certain way, I'm like, I don't ever think that or judge you, like...
And I think it's similar with like
sober,
looks,
sober, you know? Or if you had something to drink.
Yeah, exactly.
Sober as well. Yeah, I'm not saying like. Yeah.
And I think it goes with like nuts. Body image. I think it goes with like God. Fashion sense. I think it goes with just like shyness. You know, mm-hmm. all of these things. Like, you know, I use alcohol just as an example from personal yes. experience. But like all of these things, like there are these ideas of image that people hold up in their head, like, I need to look this way or I need to feel this way or whatever. But like, no one else is going, wow, get a load of that person, because they don't care. It's just, you're just another Rob, human being.
I couldn't relate more. I'm caught up in it today with the leopard sweatshirt trying to impress you.
You think totally
I wanted
understand.
To wear this fashionable shirt? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean, especially the body image. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God. I'm almost a narcissist to be like, everybody cares about what my body looks like. I'm like, literally, I don't even know if people could describe my body. Like, they'd be like, I don't know, it's a little squat.
Well, I feel the same way. I've always been like on the larger side, and I'm always mm-hmm. just like, God, what does this mean about me or whatever? And yeah. it's like, no one cares. At all, you know?
No, because it doesn't affect me.
No, not at all. And like, and I you wonder, know? Like, this goes back to like what we've, you know, this running theme of the last however many minutes, but like, why are we so critical of ourselves? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know where that comes from. And it, you know, you can't say it's religion or it's parents or whatever, because it's going to be different for everyone. But like the one constant is we're more critical of ourselves than anyone else ever would be. And maybe it's just middle school.
Really?
You know?
Where does it come from?
Yeah.
Because it's so torturous and mm-hmm. you spend a lifetime.
Yeah.
Trying to fight against it. It's really, that's what, and I'll make progress. Like I'll be like, you know, feel a bit better or feel a little more confident or feel or be like, okay, whatever, able to like brush it off mm-hmm. a little bit more and not care. And then all of a sudden I'm right back in it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now everybody, like even tonight, I have a show tonight
uh-huh.
and I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to wear?
And
I'm
yeah.
like, why am I wondering what I'm going to wear for the show when my only job is to show up and be funny?
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
It is. And, I'm glad you can recognize that. No, I do the
Alain,
same thing.
Alain, I'm glad you can recognize how stupid you
yeah.
are.
No, but like, you know, I'll do the same thing. You know, I've got a wedding coming up in 6 months and I'm
yours
already
or
like,
someone else?
Someone else.
Okay.
And I'm just like, oh God, I got to go get a suit or I got to do this and I have to mm-hmm. think about it. And then it's like, wait, but just look wedding presentable and you'll be fine, because you're not the one anyone's looking at.
Yeah. And even when it is your day, it's like everybody pays attention to you for 30 seconds and then they're like on with the dinner.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? It's like,
where's the
nobody
buffet?
Nobody cares about the speeches.
Yep.
Nobody cares about your vows. Everyone's like, yeah,
wrap
we get it.
It.
You promise to like hang out.
Yeah. And maybe yeah. it's that I podcast about reality TV so much that I'm really
God.
Piecing these things together now. Like,
could be. You're making, you're like storyboarding your life.
Yeah, no kidding. But, but yeah, you know, I'm with you there. Like, I make progress, and you know, what do they say? Like, an inch is a cinch, but a yard is hard.
That's wild. I've never heard that.
And
this is
breaking news.
You just made this up.
Breaking news here on Self Esteem Party. But no, when I think about that, or I think about these tools, like, you know, one day at a time or 1 hour yeah. at a time or whatever. It's like, oh yeah, if I try and do something small to make myself feel better or to better myself in any sort of way, mm-hmm. you know, I can live in that moment. I can live in the, you know, for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to read and turn my phone off or do the thing that like I'm like hyper fixated on. Right.
Yeah.
And just Read a freaking comic book, you know? Do something that makes me feel
good.
Well,
Rob, you're doing it right now. This is an hour, approx. Yes. Sometimes a little less, just because I do have the intro and I don't want to drag the podcast out.
Fair, fair.
But you're doing it right now. You're not on your phone, so you've like unplugged. You are, this is a podcast about self-esteem, which I know you're familiar with. I'm not saying the goal is necessarily to make somebody feel better, but sometimes talking and getting things off your chest by nature makes you feel better, which is why people love therapy so much. So it's like, this is you doing that, and we're doing it at the beginning of the day. So it's like, I'm proud of you in already, you've just set yourself up for success. And what did you say before we started? You said, because we were supposed to do it last night, but we had a power issue. So we had to cancel. And you said, you were like, it was so much better. My number was here, way lower. And it's kind of self-care to be able to like admit that, instead of sometimes we don't need to push through. Like sometimes you're like, no, that was okay.
Yeah.
Actually, that was fine.
Totally.
Because I needed this space to process.
Well, and
you know what I mean?
I did want to give you the best possible podcast. You know, so.
I don't need a high number to have a good podcast. I need a chatter. And you are a chatter.
You figured me out.
You're killing this already, because I love when somebody gets right into it. And listen, it's a lot of the podcasts are me getting to know new people. We don't necessarily know each other well, but we've known of each other and talked and whatever in this BugCon verse.
Yes, for sure.
I'm not even going to get in. Every time I talk about BugCon, everyone's like, what is it? And I'm like, it's a fake convention. I don't know what to fucking tell you. And it has a cult following.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I'm involved.
Do your own research, listeners.
Yeah, do your own research. Look it up. You'll find it. It's on Twitter.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's, you know, you have to spend some time getting to know each other. But even in that, I'm like, people can choose how much they tell you, or you can choose to get caught up in a moment and really answer in detail all the pressing questions I have, because I love asking questions.
Hey.
As we know.
And I love chatting like all the time.
Who do you chat with the most? Who is your big chat partner?
You know, it's probably, you know, my partner. I refer to her on podcasts as Mrs. Columbo. We've lived together for a very long amount of time. And, you know, we know each other so well that we can also say like, hey, can't chat right now. I need this time. But besides that, you know, I probably chat with my buddy Bill the most. He lives in Ohio. We used to work on a Star Trek podcast together. And as like, I was an editor, he was a social media guy. So we got to do the like, well, how do we wrangle these hosts to do what we want? And then over the lockdown, you know, you start reaching out to the people that you're like, oh yeah, this used to be like a casual hang. And now it's like, I want to actually make sure the friendship stays. And so he and I started like just doing fun Zoom hangs with each other and started doing podcasts together. But we made a very strict rule that like, I have done a fair amount of podcasts over my days with people that have been friends or acquaintances or people. And then it just evolves into just, oh, well, we only get together to talk when we're doing a show. Or we're making something.
I have this with the theaters and stuff. Like, yeah.
And so we made a hard and fast rule that it's like, if we don't feel like doing an episode, then we should probably just hop on a call and just be like, hey, what's up? How's it going? You know?
Oh my God, this is my whole life.
Yeah. And so Bill's been really good through all of lockdown. He's just a really good person. And that's probably who, next to Mrs. Columbo, who I chat with the most.
Norm and I have a closed door policy. It's like, if you don't want to chat or you have something to do, you have to close the door.
Yeah.
It's the only way I know.
That's a great rule.
I also, if somebody's in a room, it's like, I'll do a walk by and appear in. And if I see somebody focusing on a phone, on a computer, on a whatever, like I try to only talk when somebody's not doing something else, because I'm like, you don't know who they're texting or emailing. Could be nothing.
Yeah.
Could be something important they need to concentrate.
Yeah. For sure.
I'm someone, when I have to send an email, I'm like, everybody in the house, quiet. I have to send this email.
And I have to make sure the person's name isn't in the send box, because I will send the email I don't want to send first. Like, I have to read
it. Story of my life. Yeah. Story. I have to like reread it 100 times. Yep. And even still, remember I got your email wrong to you and Mike?
Yeah.
And I was like, nice to meet you. And then I woke up, because I reread the email, which I now have to reread emails to make sure I got times right, days right, because
fair.
When you're scheduling so many podcasts, it's hard to keep track of.
Oh, yes.
You know, or like doing other people's podcasts and stuff like that. And when I saw that spelling mistake, I was like, Alana, when I read it, I was like, cool. That's why I had to write you at like 6 a.m. being like, hey, I know we know each other.
Yeah.
You know, please know that.
And that's one of those things that like we're talking about before, like, I know, but you're right, Rob.
It
made you feel like this other thing, and like you wanted to make sure all parties involved know that that was on you. But at the end of the day, would it have ever come up again? No.
And I can't believe it. You're totally right.
Yeah.
This is the exact example we're talking about. Because to me, I was like, I've offended him. He's going to think I don't remember him. And everybody, just to give you a bit of context, I did your podcast.
Yeah. You were on one of the highest downloaded episodes of Vanderpump Robs out there.
Yes. And we will talk more about your podcast, because it was a really fun time. But and then we met in person at BugCon.
Yep.
That was fun. You came up, introduced yourself. And because I made all those promos.
Yes.
So I got really confused about whose was whose promo.
Of course.
And you were like, oh yeah, the promo. And I was like, yes, of course. But that's why I was like so embarrassed. I was like, I've had numerous interactions with you, and
hey,
you're going to think that I didn't remember you. And I was like, I was devastated by it. And you were like, yeah, okay. Well, no, I think you wrote back a joke, but you were like, yeah, whatever. Like,
yeah.
You did not care.
did not care. But you
oh
know,
my God.
It, but it's also like, I understand, like, everyone has to schedule things, you know. It's
exactly.
Not, it's not
work,
uncommon.
Social,
and and it's one of those things, though. But like, when you are making something, whether it be live on stage, a podcast, a video, whatever it is, it's like, this takes so much coordination that, like, I think, I mean, easier said than done. But I think most people understand, like, shit gets confusing, you know.
It does. And especially when you've got so many emails going
mm-hmm.
on different threads.
Yes.
I'm God. Like, this is overwhelming.
My eyes are like rolling into the back of my head, because I'm just like, yes.
Guys, Rob passed out.
Yeah. I'm becoming a being
done.
Of pure email after this.
Okay, wait. Now we'll take our quick break and talk about your podcast. Because
thank goodness.
I had a really good time. Well, these guys all relate to self-esteem.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
Okay, tell us a bit about your podcast, and then let's get into their self-esteem. So, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, I love this idea. So we're both on the Sonar Network. My podcast is called Vanderpump Robs, where it's a comedy podcast where I watch Vanderpump Rules, right? I'll follow the new episodes with a co-host, but then I will have extra episodes with people like yourself, Alana, where maybe you've never seen the show, maybe you're a diehard fan, maybe whatever, right? But we come on and I choose an episode for the guests to watch. And there's been, you know, we're going on 10 seasons of the show, so there's no short supply of episodes to watch. And every guest has a different opinion on the episode they're watching. So it's more about the conversation that starts from the subject matter of the show. And if I'm to get a little bit college film papery about it, it's more like, it gets to the point where we are talking about what happens when the camera's turned on for like unscripted TV, because we all know that like it's entertainment and that these people aren't exactly this way. You know?
No. It's so, for self-esteem, working in reality television or like with, you know, reality stuff, it's really like, I had to stop watching The Bachelor because I was like, you could see the pain behind the eyes of the people on the show. It's like, you love the fame, you love the attention. It's why you're doing it, of course. And I guess some people are looking for love.
I don't know. Are they here for the right reasons or not?
Are they here for the right reasons? I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's always the classic, I didn't come here to make friends. Yeah. We know that part.
No kidding.
We know you have not come to make friends.
Yeah.
I know this. Even though the people do make friends.
Yeah.
But it's, I'm like, when I see it, that I'm like, oh, you're not, you're putting this version of yourself out there that's like, for in some cases, a joke to me. Mm-hmm. In some cases, I love it. In some cases, it's like a joke that you don't want to be that way. And sometimes you can't see the people because they don't know the behind the scenes that people are being like tricked into acting this way.
Yep.
Being lied to, pumped full of booze, no food, like all the tricks. There's so many tricks.
Well, and The Bachelor
brings out the worst out of everybody.
Yeah. I mean, call me biased, but I think The Bachelor is one of the worst of them all because of like
truly.
There's this like, call this a unfair generalization, but
okay,
there, I feel like a lot of people actually lie to themselves to be like, no, my goal is to find love.
Exactly.
When, sure, that would be nice, but if I don't find love, I've also found a huge social following that I can profit off of for at least
the next
couple.
And money to go to parties.
And money to go to parties and invited to Stagecoach? Is that where they go? I think so.
I don't know.
Just whatever festival is sponsoring The Bachelor that year.
Yeah. With Vanderpump Rules, it was like, it was very interesting because I had never seen it before, but it was really interesting because I was like, the embarrassing part to me was the fights.
Yeah.
I mean, there was the DJ trying to prove himself and he's like, this is it.
Yep. And
oh man, that plot line really dragged out. That plot line went long.
Yeah. I feel like, I think we watched the episode where someone got like a recording of their boyfriend cheating on them and it was like played at a party.
That was the fight.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was playing it at all the parties to everybody.
And it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, when you talk about being like any sort of like tricks or trades or whatever, like why were these two outside sources given this audio recording at like 2 a.m. when everyone's partying in an apartment in West Hollywood? Like,
wasted, yeah.
Wasted. And as hilarious as the episode ended up being in aspects of it, like truly terrible if it was something you had to experience yourself.
But oh my God. But yeah. Like,
because that's the thing about Vanderpump Rules, though, is that like there are really tough emotional fights and just situations, but they will cut to a scene that is hilarious, quite frankly, because it's just how it's edited or how the talking head is put into the moment with the person having retrospect of that moment.
Now, do you think you could ever have cameras follow you around? Do you think you could have people see the real moments of your life? Can we see you at a two? Are you willing to show us?
You know, quite frankly, I think because I'm able to come on your podcast and be as chatty and honest as I am about certain things, that yes, I could. I think maybe looking back on it in 10 years, I would probably say something like, well, maybe I shouldn't have had the cameras on the whole time. You know,
I think I'm too much of a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Like I love reality TV. I love the idea of following me around. I'd be like, this is mortifying, but I am posing. even though it's a camera, I'm posing like it's a photo.
Yeah.
But I think it's like people would just see so much of the bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying I'm all bad. That's not what I'm saying.
But you don't get to control
the
edit.
But when it's bad, it's bad. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm like, they could take one small thing and make it a mountain.
Yep.
So I'm like, and I can get like, I describe it that I sometimes am not on the same page as everybody else.
Yeah. Oh.
You know what I mean?
That
and when
hits.
That happens, there's a lot of frustration that comes with that because I'm like, I feel very helpless and I feel very like, trapped, and I'm like, oh my God, like, how is everybody not seeing this? Or how am I not seeing it that way? I'm like, I just can't figure it out. Very isolating.
Oh, yeah. And
do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I really do, because that idea of like not being on the same page as other people is, it's like, you want, in my experience, like I'll want to like explain to the point where it's like, okay, they're just not going to get it. Or yeah. Someone's like, I'm not getting where you're coming from. You should just let it go or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, well, you know, I would let it go if I could let it go, but I need to process these feelings. I need to like
exactly.
figure out why I'm feeling this way. And
yeah,
it doesn't happen often, but yeah, if
same.
When it does, it's there. And
it's there. Yeah. That's yeah.
And that would definitely be a whole season arc if the cameras were on.
Oh my God, 100%. They'd be like, look at the struggle.
Yeah, it would happen three like, times oh, over God. The course of the filming. And then that would be like, wow, he's really going through something right now.
Yeah. I mean, now you said you recently stopped drinking.
Yeah.
So I want to know, although you said the last time you got said things you regretted was like 10 years ago or something.
Yeah, I'm like just like, really I was just throwing things out of like, you know, college time.
But like, how much or if ever at all was booze related to not being on the same page as somebody, or was it more like a build of something? Like I find for me, it's a build. I'm like, it's not an explosive moment out of nowhere. It's like me piecing things together to create a logic that then doesn't make sense to somebody else, because I've taken bits of everything everywhere to like, oh my God, how embarrassing to say, but to like build my case.
Oh, totally. I mean, I understand.
It's exactly embarrassing what you to mean. Say, because I'm like, I'm sitting here collecting data.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I've got these journals and evidence to prove it.
Oh my God.
Take
you know
me
what
to
I
a
mean?
Court of law, because
I've got
I
the
can,
journals. Yeah. I've got the journals.
Well, yeah, I think for me, there was sometimes my brain will run like so fast through all okay. of these options and like you're feeling this way because of this and if only the people knew what they were doing, you know what I mean? Like, and it's a very, very selfish way of thinking is what I've learned. It's like, I'm very much the, well, let's put it this way. Someone once told me that everyone is the main star of the movie they're directing in their head. And some people have had that thought and realized that everyone thinks that way. And some people have not come to that realization yet and still consider themselves the main star and everyone's just living in their world.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Call me out much. Hello. <Yeah.
laughs> Leopard print. And
oh my God, as if you're not sitting here planning out all the scenarios of my life.
Yeah. But it is like, once I got that, I was like, oh my God. Okay. Here's the moment. I am now one of those people who realize everyone thinks that way. Mm-hmm. And it kind of like led me to realize that like, because I had been running through scenarios of like, being the center of attention and like wanting, you know, like not like if I was hurt or my feelings were hurt or something yeah. didn't go my way, like why couldn't other people understand how hurtful that is to me, right? Well, yeah. It's because they're dealing with their own issues, you know, and they're dealing with something that might be hurting their feelings. And
it's like, did you tell them?
No,
did you,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
and
if you don't tell them.
Yeah, expectation yeah. setting, you know. Like,
give them a chance to respond. Like, yep. That's my thing. If you're upset with someone or someone's upset with you, you have two choices. You, one, let it go, or you, two, squash it.
Yep.
If
yep.
you care about that person. So yep. it's like, can't squash something if it's not called out.
Exactly. And quite frankly, you know, as we were talking about at the beginning of this, you know, I've learned like I need to at least address an issue with someone if there's a problem. And that doesn't mean I'm the problem because I'm addressing it. That doesn't mean that I'm creating an issue because I'm just bringing something up. Yeah. But you also then have to realize like you can bring it up. You can state your case. You can bring out the journals and it still may not go your way.
And 100%. Gotta be ready. It's like yeah. giving someone a gift and expecting one back.
Yep. Yep.
Can't do that.
And in terms of like the drinking of it all, you know, I have made the choice, right? I am at this point, 9 months, fine. And I'm realizing that, like, since I couldn't bring some of those, like, I couldn't face some of the bring up the issues, I just want people to realize it, you know, scenarios that I did find, like, drinking was an easy way to calm down or to, like, just chill out. And
yeah, subdue things.
Yeah, and it's like, I was also going to, like, therapy and stuff, and therapy is great when you just talk about things, like we were saying. But, yeah. Like, you sometimes don't know you're self-medicating until you're just like, oh, shit, I gotta pump the brakes on this, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I'm literally a walking pharmacy.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more. You know, I always say I'm so hopped up on meds, my piss could cure somebody. So if anybody wants to drink my pee and feel better, DM me.
That's for the Patreon only, though, okay?
That's for the Patreon. We're making it a new tier.
Yeah.
Called Piss Party.
I will not be part of this.
Well, you have a free membership to Piss Party.
Great.
So you are a part of it.
Produced by. No.
Yeah, you're producing Piss Party.
Yeah.
Wow, these are all great offers. I really appreciate all your help with this.
Oh, good. Yeah. But yeah, it is one of those things where it's just like, I think going back to this idea of being able to be like, shit. Okay, things aren't always going to go my way, and that sucks. And sometimes those are the moments where I ruminate, or, you know, the character arc of my first season of my reality show would probably be those moments where I'm, like, thinking too much about something. But, you know.
Yeah. Now, do you take, I guess, not quite criticism, I don't mean to say, but, like, do you take notes from people well, or comments from people well? Like, are you somebody, if I did tell you something, if I was like, hey, dude, you've kind of been an asshole lately, or you've been really cranky lately, are you going to be really hurt by that? Or are you able to take that and be like, either agree or disagree with it, but be able to remain calm about it and be able to, like, either let it go or make the change, whatever you feel is suitable? How do you feel when somebody does confront you?
In the past,
because I've been about to.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what are you setting me up for here?
No. Yeah, I want to know. I'm taking things personally.
I think there was a long time in my life where I did not take notes very well, and it was mainly because I was overthinking the notes. And this is coming from me, who I'm a theater student. Right? Like, if I was on stage,
trained to take notes.
I was fine taking notes to improve my character, but when it became notes on me personally, it would be like, well, who are you to tell me, you know? I am happy to say that, like, anytime that's happened, you know, since my, you know, let's just say my 30s, I've been a lot better at taking notes, because usually the people who will kind of call you out on things like that in a positive way, are usually folks I've, like, kind of aspired to lean more towards. Like, I respect their opinions. Rarely was I getting people saying you're an asshole or whatever, or you've been acting like that lately. That, now this is going to sound defensive, but
I'm not editing this.
That we're probably being a little bit more, we're projecting a bit. And although I probably was being, maybe needed some notes, it was hard to take it from the people that were maybe needed some notes themselves. You know?
I get it. Yeah. That's, I think, you know, it changes from person to person, situation to situation. I would say I can take a note way better now than I used to. Yes, of course. The only time I get upset is if it's something somebody's really been sitting on. And I'm like, why didn't you just tell me right away?
Yeah.
Because then I feel embarrassed that I've been doing this thing to bother them this whole time. And it could have potentially been squashed and avoided.
Yeah.
Like, Norm did that to me once where he told me something. He's like, the last little while. And I'm like, well, how long?
Like 3 years?
Oh my God. Like, are you kidding? I'm like, you're setting me up for failure. So you just get more and more upset or annoyed or mad. And then I don't even know I'm doing it. You didn't even give me a chance to fix it.
Yep.
And if I think that's suitable.
Yeah. And like the idea that, like, you know, and this is more recent too, but it's like, I would much rather hear a no with a short reason why, if I've asked for something, mm-hmm. than a like, yes, and then I can tell you actually don't want to be there. Resentment. For that. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I totally know what you mean. I'm like, I have it with the podcast of people like, you know, saying no, I'm not somebody that likes to talk, or I tend to overshare and then regret it, or like, you know, because this is a podcast where I'm asking you to be yourself and talk
for sure
about yourself. And that's not always the easiest. Like, it's not like we're focusing on a movie or this. We talked about your podcast briefly to talk about people in reality TV and what that must be like.
Totally.
But it's not the easiest thing to do, but it's like, I'd rather that than a yes. And then they're like, it's like pulling teeth to get stuff out. And I'm like, well, you didn't have to come. That's okay.
Or like, could you please edit that out? You know?
Yeah. Oh my God. When somebody asks me to edit something, I understand if you make a mistake or accidentally say a name.
Sure.
Okay, of course. We don't want to embarrass anybody.
Sure.
But I've had a few guests, not that many, but I've had a few guests that like wanted whole sections out. And I'm like, we called that back.
Yeah, like, it would like, not make sense. You know, it comes up
again. You don't remember, but it comes up again. Yeah, so I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
I'm not. It's because I'm not good enough. Yeah. Oh, here's my low self-esteem. I'm at a 2.
No,
I'm at a 2 because of my editing skills.
Yeah, well,
I will say this: I hate feeling stupid.
Oh,
I hate definitely. When I call myself stupid. Yeah. I get mad at myself for calling myself stupid, and it's because I'm so upset that I feel stupid. It really gets to me.
Yeah. On the same page, I do not like being made to feel stupid. And I'm a very meticulous person. I make a lot of notes. I do a lot of organizing. You know, I produce multiple podcasts, and it's like,
busy guy.
Well, and we're talking about scheduling and doing these things. I do my best to keep those things in order. So like when I'm made to feel like something I've done that I have like receipts, you know, then it's like, I do feel like that. It isn't, but I internalize things like a personal attack, you know, but they don't see all the journals and notes and evidence that I have.
Exactly. You know? So it's like, exactly. Yeah. It's just so, oh my God, what is it? I think it's in the Four Agreements. You know this book?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I think one of them is don't take things personally.
Yeah.
Or something, I might not be wording it correctly, but essentially that lesson. Mm-hmm. Don't take things personally. And somebody giving you a no or something even as simple as this is, at least when I do it to someone, I'm just trying to release and relieve myself of a stress or a pressure or an annoyance or something that's dragging me down by telling somebody else. So I'm like, it literally actually has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
It's just about me relieving myself of this truth that's been burning a hole in my heart.
Yeah. It's as deep
you are
as a
burning
well.
A hole in my heart.
Yeah. Well, and that doesn't go over well when you write that on Slack to someone. Like,
hey man, FYI.
FYI.
You're burning a hole in my heart.
Flame emoji.
Heart emoji.
Yeah. But you know, in that, I don't know about you, but like, all I try and do is just take those moments. Say them, like tell them to myself, be like, okay, this is what happened, and then attempt to not feel that way next time. And it doesn't always work, and who knows what the reality show will pan out with in the edit. But like, I feel like, you know, like I said, the inch is a cinch. It's like, if I can just be acknowledge this now, it'll make the blow lesser than when it happens again. And like the other thing on top of that is I think it's worse because sometimes it feels like the rug's been pulled out from under you and it's a surprise because you're like, mm-hmm. I couldn't have guessed something, a comment like this was going to be made. And so it's not just that like I'm feeling, you know, personally attacked or whatever, but it's also that I was blindsided by it. Like there's no way on earth I would have expected that, you know?
What are some, because you said again about pre-planning the way things can like pan out or whatever.
So like that playing like, God almost, you know?
Yeah. So that you're like prepared for every outcome or every like result. What do you feel are some things you could actively do? You had mentioned reading, but to keep you present, to practice staying present in the moment.
Something
reading being start with reading. That's
sure,
a great one.
Yeah. And something I've really been working on is like actively telling myself, when I find myself trying to like plot out the red lines on the map, like you can't do it. It's, you cannot plan for these things. All you can do is, you know, live today. Right. So do what you need to do. And so I remind myself that I say like, well, what do I have to do this hour? What do I have to do this day? What can I do? What is, like I said earlier, keeping my side of the street clean, you know, like what are the things that are my responsibility if I'm talking work related, you know, and doing what I am responsible for, and then life related, like it's not my place to make sure everyone in my life is happy or, you know, cared for at every moment. Like,
so taking time for you, not always feeling like you have to reach out and help.
That is exactly it. Like, I'm not in control of everything. And I have to tell myself that. And so
you're not in control of anybody's happiness. Yeah, that's a fact.
Not at all. And
if somebody's like bumming you out, like say your partner was like being a real drag in the house for an extended period of time because of something they're going through, it's like, it's not, you can still prevail. It can have an impact or an effect and need to be a conversation to be had where it's like, let me help you, but to a certain extent. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you can't be of any service to anyone else if you don't have your shit together. So it's like, if that means you go on a walk, if that means you gotta read, if that means you gotta get your proof journals.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm loving this idea of physically writing down proof of things. Yeah. I might have to do, because I journal, but my journals are useless and I throw them out when they're done because I don't want to relive the memories.
Sure.
That's how I stay present, by throwing out all my journals. You know, I've never reread a journal entry.
Wow. That's, I feel like television and movies have taught us that like, oh, I'm going to discover this journal from when I was 15, when I'm, you know, 48, and then
people do
relive that moment. But I don't know. I don't think I would want to. First of all, my handwriting would be terrible from back then.
I think it's too much evidence against me.
And I'm like, growth.
My real thoughts. I'm like, what if you read something, that I wrote when I was like 22 and now here I am in my 30s and you're like, I can't believe you'd say that about me. And I'm like, oh my God.
And what if what if one of those moments you felt compelled to write was something similar that to what you're feeling now? And then you're just like, oh, I haven't grown at all. I haven't matured at all. I'm still
even
doing this.
Even worse.
You know?
Even worse.
Because what, you know, like you said, like, I do try and find, I read, I'll write, I love going on a walk around the neighborhood when I feel like I'm, like, zoned in, or, like, I need to physically break myself away from a situation. But when I do feel compelled to, like, journal, it's usually at heightened moments of stress. If it's not during a, you know, like, hey, I journal every day at 8 a.m. or whatever, right?
Yeah. So, I do journal every day and then in the morning, but then sometimes have to revisit in a moment of stress where I'm like, I got to write this out or it's going to explode in my head.
And I think, I think that's a good way to, I mean, like being able to throw away your journals, I think is very strong because, like we said, you know, high moments of stress are kind of universal, you know, mm-hmm. like, and if you want to, if you want to find an answer, you'll find it, right?
Yeah.
And so if you're yeah. stressed and you look back in that journal, you're like, see, justification for me feeling like crap or whatever.
Oh my God. I just don't. If it matters, I'll hang on to it in my memory.
Yeah.
If it matters, I'll hang on. Yep. I don't need to be reminded of a time that I was caught up in a moment and being unfiltered because I knew no one would know this. And I don't need to recognize that as truth. That could have just been a spurt,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
a moment that I'm glad has passed.
Absolutely. Now let me ask you this.
Ooh, romantic.
What do you
don't
feel
let your
about...
partner hear.
What do you feel about live comedy shows that deal with journal reading?
Okay, this one's tough because it depends on the content. Some sure. people have stellar entries. I don't like when they're long.
Yeah.
I don't like when they're too young.
Yeah.
I like when somebody does poetry. Oh, I love a good poem from mm-hmm. a journal when you're like 12.
Yes.
I'm like, yes, I'll take that any day. But I prefer if somebody, what I don't like is the reading, like the yeah. physical reading. Like, I wish you memorized it and then said it to me.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to see your face. So I
or
wish
turn
it, was
it into
presented
a PowerPoint
as a story,
or something.
Or turn it into a PowerPoint. I wish there was, it was told more as a story, as because when people read on stage, I'm like, I just can't connect as well because I'm a real face person.
Sure. No, that makes sense.
Because I want them to see my face. Hello, I put lipstick on.
Yeah. Did you see how much thought I put into what I'm wearing right now?
Oh my God, like, look at me and everybody cares. Yeah. I'm the star of your life. I wish you guys could see. My arms are flailing when I say this.
And really popping against the blue background. I know everyone knows about the blue background.
Don't I look great?
But
don't
yeah,
I look so good?
It's great. It's great.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I did it on purpose. I thought, and deny these eyes and my blue frames,
hell,
my glasses.
Everything's coming up, Alana.
Everything's coming up me. Now, Rob, bad news, we're wrapping up.
Oh, no.
Good news, it's time to check in.
Okay.
And then a bit of expansion from there. So you started the podcast at a 4 teeter 5, mm-hmm. just to kind of save time instead of saying teetering.
Yeah.
Because we need to save time.
It's very true. We're it's almost the
feeling?
End.
It's almost the end. And then we have to like still have a bit of a post combo. How are you feeling now? What's the zone?
You know, I think I've made it over 5 and I am in 6 territory.
You know what? I started out of 5 and I'm feeling at a 6. Okay, so now tell me why. This is what I wanted to make. This is what I wanted to make room for.
Sure. Yeah. I think that like as I've selfishly been able to talk about my own thought processes, mm-hmm. it's actually, you know, it's like I've expelled the demons of previous days this week that I was holding on to because you know, it's who cares about the past if you're mm-hmm. trying to work for a better future, you know? Like,
now what topic or section of conversation did you find to be the most helpful to get off your chest?
You know, it would probably have to be just the idea of like what we do to make sure that we're doing the best for ourselves. You know,
yeah.
like whether mm-hmm. it's going for the walk or whether it's realizing we're not in control of everything or,
yeah.
and you know, maybe it's recency bias, but it does feel like those things we need those reminders every now and again, you know?
Yeah. I would say mine is when we talked about, when you had said, which I appreciate your honesty, that you always think of every single outcome of every single situation, because I can sometimes drive myself mad doing that. And one, it's not the most positive thing, but it's nice to know that other people sometimes go through things that we go through that feel isolating or feel like what someone would say crazy, even though
sure.
I don't think that. But it to hear that like you're working towards letting it go, and I feel like I've gotten better at letting it go. I'm like, gives me hope that I'm like, oh, maybe it's just like maturing as well, like aging. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe I'm like, maybe I can like keep it on the list of things to work on, but also like almost get too busy or too tired to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, there are a lot of people who don't attempt anything and just work themselves up into a tizzy. I've probably been in that state in the past myself. And I don't want to speak for you, but I think like being able to admit, you know, oh, this is not a healthy way to be and attempt to do better next time is, I think it's astronomical, you know, because there are points in times where that may not have even been an option for me or you or whoever. Yeah. Right.
Rob, you do speak for me when I say I'm at a 10.
Hey, great.
Just a huge skyrocket in 2 minutes.
I've made it finally.
from you saying, well, I don't want to speak for you. And I was thinking, he is my voice.
Yeah.
Rob, tell us one more time about your pod, or if you have other podcasts as well, tell me about those before we head out.
Yeah, I mean, I would really appreciate if people checked out Vanderpump Rob's. You don't have to be a fan or have ever even watched an episode to enjoy the podcast. I follow along Vanderpump Rules, other Bravo shows. There's a Patreon with bonus content where sometimes we, my co-host Molly and I, will read books written by the reality stars and talk about those, among other things. And then I've got a podcast called Bill and Rob's An Excellent Adventure, where we look back at old media and just have a good old time. Like, watched all the Predator movies. We've watched Marvel movies before the MCU. We're going to watch Planet of the Apes. You know, it's a good reprieve from
the new or the old.
Oh, chronologically. So we're going through all of them.
What an undertaking. One holiday, my family watched all the Planet of the Apes from the beginning.
Wow. In
exactly what you guys are about to do. We watched them all. They were on all the time. So it was like days.
That great, great tradition. I hope it happens every year.
Better take some days off work.
Yep, that's true.
This is going to be a beast. You got to watch it all back to back.
Yep, it's been... It's a journey.
Only way to do it. Yeah. Only way to do it.
But yeah, that's and then, you know, the last thing I'll say is you had Mike Sachs on the show and I produce his podcast. And
yes,
that's Mike. I owe a lot of my career in podcasting to Mike. So I have
we
to
love
give that pod
Mike
a shout.
Sachs. Yeah. Yes, we love Mike Sachs. Friend of the pod now, friend of me.
Yes.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Rob, you've been, I hate to say it, an absolutely amazing guest.
You hate to say it.
I hate to say it because it makes it seem like I doubted you ever would be.
Well, you've been I hate to say it. You've been a great host. So, you know.
You hate it. You hate to say it.
You hate to say it.
No, Rob, seriously, thank you so much for coming on. What a beautiful way to get to know each other even better.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm so happy. I'm going to continue to subscribe to the podcast.
Oh my God. Guys, subscribe, get in the comments, leave a review. I know there's no comments, like there's no back and forth, but there is on social media, but on Apple, leave a review. Be like, maybe you guys can write something. Rob, this goes for you. I make a lot of guests leave reviews, but maybe all you guys can write something like, she is as cool as she sounds, and what she sounds is beautiful. Make it fun. Make it your own.
Sure.
Rob, this is you verbally confirming you're going to do it.
I will do it. I will, you know, I'll make it my own, but it'll probably be exactly that sentence.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
Rob, thank you so much. Stay on the line. I have a question.
Believe in yourself.